Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. I'm laughing because I think I have you all trained. You're like little puppies out there. You know, sometimes in the introduction, we don't even give the number out anymore. And we don't have to because the board is filled with calls already. So why even bother giving the number out, right? And all these people that are members or know about KFOX of the Astrology Hour, they have that number down. So we have a full board. We have Happy Georgia, Wayne, Susan, Patrick, Ruth, Joseph, Marianne, and Eva all on standby. When we get through our topic, we will go to the phone, so relax and enjoy the topic, and welcome to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, everybody. Good to see you all, and good to be here, of course. Well, we're continuing our topic on correlations, and today is one of my favorite topics in history, and it is a topic that has been long awaited. I haven't done this topic for about a year on the Astrology Hour, so today's topic is called conjunctions, and a conjunction is when two planets are in the same degree of longitude or within an 8-degree orb. And the closer the orb or the closer to the degree they come, then this gives great strength to the energies of the meanings of the interacting planets. Involved, of course. Planets, that is. This aspect can be either harmonious or discordant, depending on the nature of the planets involved. Conjunctions with Mars or Saturn and sometimes Uranus or Neptune can be difficult, especially conjunctions between these planets. More can be determined about the nature of a particular conjunction by comparing the nature of the sign in which it occurs to the natures of the planets involved. Correlations, see once again, a planet strongly compatible to the sign of conjunction can dominate the energies of the other planet, like a Sun conjunction something in Leo, or a Jupiter conjunction something in Sag, or a Saturn conjunction something in Capricorn. See, these are signs that these planets rule, so they can definitely dominate if they're in their own sign or a complementing sign. So very, very full topic for you today, and I think you'll enjoy it. I like conjunctions, and basically, if you're a neophyte, or if you know absolutely zilch about astrology or metaphysics or anything, and you'd like to figure out basically what this topic's all about, then more than anything else, you'll probably want to try to get more of a visualization in your mind as to what a conjunction is. The closest thing I can tell you would be an eclipse. If we have a sun conjunction moon, you go outside and you see this black thing coming in front of the sun. That's when the moon actually crosses in front of the sun. That is called an eclipse. Well, planets are too far away to go exactly right on top of each other, but still, if they're lined up in the same degree of longitude, they're in the same area of space, then we do call that a conjunction. And conjunctions are very, very important. Because once again, we're discussing correlations, and we're trying to teach you meanings of planets. I have a lot of conjunctions. I got a Pluto conjunction Mercury, and I got a Pluto conjunction Sun, and a Sun conjunction Pluto, and a Sun conjunction Saturn, and a Mercury conjunction Saturn, and a Mars conjunction Neptune, and a Mars conjunction Ascendant. So I am loaded with conjunctions. And now if you want to try to figure out if you have any conjunctions, grab your astroscope. That's right. Take a look at the third page where it says planetary aspect, and find the word conjunction in the list. And if you find it, you can circle that conjunction word. And then in the body of the report, you will find out basically what your particular conjunction means. Now, first of all, let's make one thing clear, that in order to understand conjunctions, you have to understand which signs the planets control or rule, which signs they're the strongest in. And I'm going to repeat it briefly for you right now so you can write it down with your shorthand, okay? The sun epitomizes Leo. That is, the strongest force in Leo is the sun, and that's why it's so darn hot in the summer. The moon is the ruling planet for Cancer, and it's important to know this and memorize the signs these planets rule, because when we talk about a sun conjunction, we're talking about a Leo 9 effect. Like, you could have Mars in Pisces, right, with sun conjunction that Mars in Pisces, and suddenly you will be like unto a Leo and Aries combination, because Mars is Lord of Aries and Sun is Lord of Leo. Once again, we're talking about correlations or mixing of energies. So in order to understand what the conjunction is, you have to have down what the planetary meaning is. The moon is Lord of Cancer. Mercury rules two signs, both Virgo and Gemini. So that's why people that are born, and so many of you out there are born with Sun conjunction Mercury, because Mercury never wanders more than two signs from the Sun. Most often it is very close to the Sun. When I was born, it was dead on the Sun, in what we call a kazemi, or a combust, when Mercury is within minutes of exact conjunction to the Sun. Mine is 1848 Leo, and my Mercury and my Sun's 1852, so we're talking 4 minutes off. That's really, really close. But people born, get you got it, with a Mercury conjunction their Sun, have a Virgo-Gemini quality added to their soul. So that's why it's stupid when people say, can you guess my Sun? Because somebody born with a Sun conjunction Mercury will be like unto a, you got it, Gemini or Virgo, more than their own Sun sign, because that Mercury changes and it affects. You wouldn't think, you know, you really would think that Mercury, such a tiny itty-bitty planet, just a little bit larger than our own moon, being conjunct Mercury would have that kind of effect. But we're not talking about physical effect. We're not talking about density of matter here. We're talking about a cosmic effect, a translucent effect. See, the Sun and all the planets have their own chakras. They have their own etheric web and their own souls. That's right. These planets are alive. They are living entities. And when you have the Sun, Mercury together, I'll give you an example. Let's say you're on a boat, or you're off the boat and the boat is level. But even if a little child gets on that boat, it's going to start rocking. Did you know that? A boat that might weigh 9,000 pounds would rock if a child got on it 20, 30 pounds or whatever, which might be a comparison between Mercury and the Sun. And if it ran back and forth in that boat, it would start rocking. And people usually tell the kids, stop rocking the boat, would you? So that's the way I use my comparison. It's not the physical density or the size of the planets that counts, because astrologers throughout the ages have proven that no matter how big the planet is, each planet does have its own mystical, cosmic, magical effect on us in our astrology charts. So that's why it's important to know what energies these planets rule. Now, Venus is also a bi-ruler. Venus rules two signs, Taurus and Libra. So people that have Venus conjunctions will have a Taurus-Libran effect. See, associated, like I have a Venus, another conjunction, I have Venus conjunction Uranus in my chart. Now get this one, this is a multi-combination of energies, right? Uranus is the Aquarian Lord, so we talk about an Aquarian vibration, first of all, that's one sign we talk about. Then Uranus in my chart is in the sign of Gemini, there's the second vibration. And then Venus is in the sign of Cancer, Venus is the Lord of Taurus and Libra, so we add those two vibrations. It's in the sign of Cancer, so there's five vibrations. So I have a Venus-Uranus conjunction in Cancer and Libra. No wonder what I love and what my values are so wide-ranged, because they cover Aquarius vibe, which is my friends and my goals, Gemini vibe, which is communication, psychology, Taurus vibe, which is love and values, Libra vibe, with vibration, which is relationships and balance, and Cancer vibe, which is emotions and nurturing and security and home. And when you get down to try to figure out what Farley's real values are, it's a combination of everything that is included in that Venus-Uranus conjunction. And that's right, when you have one planet and one sign at the tail end, like I have Uranus in Gemini at 29, within 6 degrees of conjunction to Venus in early Cancer at 5, then you do come up with a wild gamut of vibration. And this is why understanding your conjunctions is absolutely necessary in trying to discern and to understand and to digest your individual uniqueness. Do you know there are people out there, there's some people out there, in fact, that were born, I believe, in 1955. Let me pull my secret little ephemeris out, because there was a magical moment throughout world history here. I don't know if you're lucky to be born 1955, but if you were born the first week in August of 1955, in fact, right around the 4th of August, you'd have Sun in Leo at 11, Mercury in Leo at 10, Venus in Leo at 4, Mars in Leo at 15, and Jupiter in Leo at 11. No wonder some of these people born at that time could be a bit confused. We're talking Sun, which is the Leo vibration, right? Mercury, which is Gemini Virgo vibration, and then Venus, which is the Taurus Libra vibration, then Mars, which is the Aries vibration, and Jupiter, which is the Sag vibration, all together in eclipse that first week in August of 55. And so you're going to get people whose identities and whose souls are going to run a gamut, a wide range of vibrational effect here. And that's why Leo's born at that particular time with Mercury, Venus, Mars, and Jupiter all conjunct their Sun are going to have maybe a bit of an identity crisis. You might say, why? Because the Sun is your identity. On top of that, Saturn just happened to be in Scorpio that very same week. and squaring the Sun, squaring Mercury, squaring Jupiter, squaring Venus, and squaring Mars in Leo. So this person would have to go through tremendous evolution and transformation in trying to find out exactly who they are. Because it's like walking around and people say, what's your sun sign? Oh, I'm a Leo, Gemini, Virgo, a Taurus, a Libra, Aries, Sagittarius type person. And they go, oh, it's like facing a seven-headed monster. So, you know, understanding conjunctions is really wonderful. And everybody's got them. You know, it's very, very, it's almost impossible to find a chart that is totally void of conjunctions. Let's continue to find out what some of the other vibration the planets have. Mars has the Aries vibration, and Jupiter has the Sagittarius vibration. And, you know, it's very funny, because you might have Venus in Virgo, right, which is normally a very serious and analytical and can be a critical sign. But then you'll have a Jupiter-Venus conjunction in Virgo. So Jupiter sits on Venus in Virgo, and all of a sudden you'll look at this person and you'll say, well, this person doesn't seem like they have Venus in Virgo. They're a clown. You know, some of your best comedians in the world, some of your happiest people in the world have that Venus-Jupiter conjunction. Because whatever sign your Venus is in, if Jupiter sits on top of it, it transforms it to the energy that Jupiter controls, which is the Sagittarius factor. See what I mean? And then, on the other hand, you might have a person whose moon is in Gemini, and another planet that we talk about in conjunction is Saturn. Like, Saturn's vibration is Capricorn, very serious, very contracting, very karmic. And people that have Saturn conjunctions, a lot of times, a karma or a major lesson, a life experience is connected to that planet. Like, a Saturn-Moon conjunction could mean your major lesson in life is with your feelings. And your mother, because the moon is your mother, right? And let's say you have a Venus-Saturn conjunction. Well, your major karma in life could be, you see, the Capricorn vibration is attached to that planet Venus with the Saturn-Venus conjunction. So the major karma could be money, which is what Venus rules, and women, which is also what Venus rules. Some people could have a Mars-Saturn conjunction, and then your life force is at question, and men, and your overall energy. That's why people that have Saturn-Mars conjunctions should avoid sugar, and they should avoid coffee, and they should avoid sweets and things that can tire them out or get addicted to them and drain their life force, because they need as much life energy as they can get. See, understanding conjunctions and understanding houses and signs and basic planetary definitions, and I hope you were able to listen to the Astrology Hour this morning at 10:30 when we had a rebroadcast. Today is one of our better shows of the season. At 3 o'clock, we have a show coming on from last Friday. It is called Basic Planetary Definitions. And if you missed it, then you'll be able to go over in detail what each planet means. That way, if you have conjunctions in your chart, you can combine the total meaning of one planet with the total meaning of another planet, and that way it'll make sense. Let's talk about also the rising signs. See, you could be a Scorpio rising with Sun in Scorpio rising. Conjunct your ascendant, eclipsing your ascendant. And that'll make you more like, that's right, a Leo rising, because Sun is Lord of Leo. Scorpio risings are normally introvert, shy, mysterious, secretive, and that. But with Sun rising in Scorpio, it gives you more of an extrovert, enthusiastic, outstanding, outlandish personality from that Sun conjunction. I love conjunctions because conjunctions really will help you validate astrology almost more than anything else. Now, we're going to take a look at some of the more bizarre conjunctions as we look at Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto coming up here. A question I have for you is, it's 12:17, where are your conjunctions? Remember that? It's 9 o'clock, where are your children? Some people out there, of course, don't even know where their conjunctions are, and gosh, it's so easy to find out. Get yourself a chart done. Yeah, I keep telling you, get yourself charted. I think this show is an astrology correspondence course, a metaphysics course. A lot of people have been very excited, more than ever, about the Astrology Hour this last week and a half, because we've been focusing on the basics again, which is something I get inspired to do. Every once in a while I go, I'm going to hit them with an astrology pie today and see what that does. But it's not always the same. You know, a lot of times we cover other things. Like, a lot of things are going on in the world. You know, this Bush Rather thing, and then you get the stock market crash. You know, I just want to also announce one thing to you. Expect a lot of shockers in politics and in world government coming up. You should actually keep a list, you know, a couple of plane crashes happening, because as long as Saturn is conjunct Uranus like it is now, which is what happened during World War II, remember Pearl Harbor? Yeah, I think some of us do. A lot of shockers do happen when Saturn and Uranus are in conjunction. See, that's right, babies born right now have a Saturn-Uranus conjunction, and around Valentine's Day, Mars will be there too. So the key here is shockers. Shockers, organization, karma, reorganization. It's like shocker and readapt, shocker and readapt. So the closer we get to the exact conjunction, all of February, I want you to be aware of major world events in the news, and things like the Bush rather discussion, or things like plane crashes perhaps, or sudden discovery, sudden revelations, good and bad, that will be occurring during this conjunction. We're talking about conjunctions here, or when two planets are so close together in the natal chart, in the birth chart, that they sort of work off of each other. It can be two or more. It can be three or four planets grouped together, like our pals born in the first week of 55. We call them wild and crazy conjunctions. Trying to figure them out can take a lifetime, by the way. But, you know, the important part of a conjunction is to understand, like I said, what sign a planet controls. Like, if you know that the Sun epitomizes Leo, and if you know that Mercury epitomizes Virgo and Gemini combined, if you know that the Moon epitomizes Cancer. See, if you get these forces down, then when you have a Moon-Venus conjunction, let's say Venus in Taurus conjunct the Moon in Taurus, is going to make for a very loving, caring, nurturing person. Combination of Taurus-Libra vibe from Venus, Taurus because that's the sign it's in, and Cancer because the Moon is conjunct. And these are very puppy, doggish, caring, loving, nurturing, compassionate souls. You know, to have a Moon conjunction Venus or a Moon conjunction Jupiter, see, now there's the clown right away. Don't you get it? Moon conjunct Jupiter. If Jupiter conjuncts a planet or an ascendant or your Sun or your Moon, then it adds humor and optimism to the person's personality. That's why people with Jupiter conjunctions are so funny. And they're so independent. They're so carefree. This stuff really works. And then we get into some really bizarre conjunctions, right? Uranus, which is the controlling planet for Aquarius, which can create kind of a more bizarre effect, as we know Farley has a Venus-Uranus conjunction, so you know where I'm coming from. But and it's funny because, seriously, this is really the truth. See, in a heterosexual man's chart, or a gay woman, right, Venus controls our female karma, our women in our lives. So the big question's always been, well, what kind of woman do you like, Farley? Well, let's see. I have Venus in Cancer, right? Uranus in Gemini. They're both conjunct. Uranus sextile Saturn, Venus square Neptune. Probably an outer space extraterrestrial. What type of woman would be best suited for me? I do really require so much from a woman that I try to keep myself from being limited as far as what my expectations are. Because having Venus in Cancer square Neptune in Libra is already an idealistic guy. But with Venus conjunct Uranus, come on. You know, the question used to be, is there a woman alive that can really make me happy? I think I was born with this type of chart to prevent me from ever having a permanent commitment of any kind, because it just, there's just sometimes so much variety. It's like, sometimes I like it when a woman changes her makeup or her wardrobe or her car or her residence or her personality, you know, comes in and acts like a different woman every day, you know, but you'd be surprised, because sometimes I'm a lot better off with someone that's more introvert and meek and shy, and that way I try to confront my karma and say, Farley, see, you're just going to have to settle with this and be happy with it, because this is good for you. But see, understand, like I say, one of the reasons why I got into astrology is to try to understand myself and understand people, understand the world, and by analyzing astrology charts and by learning about things like conjunctions, that's the way to do it. So Uranus adds a very diverse, a variety-oriented vibration, an intellectual vibration, and because Aquarius can be so weird, sometimes it adds a weird vibe. Like, somebody could be born, for example, with maybe Sag rising and be totally off the wall and crazy personality because Uranus was in Sag when they were born on the ascendant. So they have a Uranus conjunct their rising sign. See, we either call it conjunction or a nickname for it in chart form would be conjunct. And basically, so that would create a very, very diverse personality. You will find that if you have any kind of Uranus conjunctions in your chart at all, that you will go through a tremendous amount of diversity in your life and changes, and there'll be a lot about you that's very Aquarian. Like me having Venus in Cancer and Uranus in Gemini makes no difference. I have that Venus conjunct Uranus, so even though I have no Aquarius planets, there's a side to me that's very hot and cold. I'm extremely Aquarian and very much into science and technology and computers and all those Aquarian vibration things. And that's why, because my chart ruler Venus, which is Lord of my Libra rising, is right there conjunction that friendly planet Uranus. And then there's Neptune conjunctions. And we're really getting far out here. Neptune being the Lord of Pisces carries a Piscean vibration with it. That a lot of people with Neptune conjunctions, and I got another one. I got Neptune conjunct my Mars, so we're talking either Skid Row bum or spiritual priest when you talk about the choice here, because Neptune conjunctions can freak you out as far as drugs and alcohol and addictive behavior and just being frightened of your sensitivity and your intuition that Neptune bestows. Because when Neptune is conjunct certain planets, It does bring a psychic, a positive, a Piscean vibration. Not always positive. It depends whether you can handle the power or not. Like people could be, let's say, Capricorn rising with Neptune on the ascendant right now, some of these young kids, and they'll be very, very sensitive and very, very removed in their personality because Neptune rising conjunct the ascendant is like a Pisces rising. See? These correlations again. So wherever Neptune goes, you have a Piscean vibration. Pluto is the Scorpio lord. So wherever Pluto goes, there's an intense Scorpio. Like not only do I have, guess what? Not only does Farley have a Sun conjunction Mercury, so the talkative side to me and the analytical detective side to me is the Mercury vibration, which is Virgo Gemini, and then Pluto, which is at 14 Leo in my chart, just 4 degrees off my Sun Mercury. There's the intense deep extremist side to me, Sun conjunction Pluto, Mercury conjunction Pluto. So wherever Pluto goes, there's a Scorpio effect. See, so you know, I don't have any Scorpio in my chart. That's right, guy. You got Mars conjunct Pluto. So no wonder you're so passionate, so intense or extreme or into bizarre occult matters because of that Pluto effect. So the point of today's show is to get your lords down. Know what signs the planets control and know what vibration the planets control. And that way, when planets are in houses or in signs, you can combine their meanings. And when they are in conjunction with each other, you can combine their vibrations and you can help to understand your uniqueness a little bit more by knowing what the vibration is. And once again, Sun is Lord of Leo, Moon is Lord of Cancer, Mercury controls Gemini and Virgo, Venus is Lord of Taurus and Libra, Mars is Lord of Aries, Jupiter Lord of Sag, Saturn Lord of Capricorn, Uranus is Lord of Aquarius, Neptune Lord of Pisces, and Pluto Lord of Scorpio. And when you get that stuff down and you're looking at something like a Jupiter-Uranus-Pluto conjunction, you're going to go, wow, it sure doesn't taste like tomato juice, because when you have somebody with a Jupiter-Uranus-Pluto conjunction is definitely going to be far out, maybe out of this world, like an alien chart. Okay, another interesting topic for you on the astrology. Are ready to meet the people coming up here? I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, also known as the Astrology Hour. KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative in Redondo Beach. Here weekdays at 12 noon for your enjoyment, enlightenment, entertainment, or just to eat lunch by. And thank you to all of our listeners. If I know you find a way to get involved here.